Well, I'm satisfied. How about you? Good to know. The message this morning is called Enough is Enough. And it's not like I've had it. Enough is enough. I'm mad as you know what, and I'm not going to take it anymore from Network, right? It's not like the disco song by Donna Summer. Enough is enough is enough. You know that one from the Sublime to the Ridiculous, right? Yeah. It's more like enough. This moment is enough. And enough is sufficient. We don't need more. We don't need to accumulate more. Rather, instead, we could focus in on this moment and find the sufficiency, the all-sufficiency, that is right here, right now. Eric Butterworth talks about how in every insufficiency, there is an all-sufficiency. Every insufficiency. Is it true? Rhetorical question. I think it's true. But sometimes our smaller self doesn't think that's true. Back, oh, I don't know, 20, 25 years ago, I had this job singing for an opera chorus, and it was a great job, super fun, but we did quite a few operas a year, and sometimes we would get a little behind on our translations because we were singing in different languages, and the chorus would know what we were singing, but sometimes when the lead singers were on the stage, they'd be singing stuff, and the chorus, who was supposed to react to what they're saying, we'd be going, is this a good thing or a bad thing? You can usually tell by the orchestra, but but sometimes we wouldn't know. But I bring that up. Is this a good thing or a bad thing? It's very much the way our brains work. Our brains are constantly looking, is this a good thing or a bad thing? Is this a good thing or a bad thing? Is this a sufficient thing or is this an insufficient thing? And because of the way that our brains are made, we are programmed to look for what is wrong in the world so we can fix it. The separate self has a strong belief in what is wrong with the world, what is allegedly wrong with the world. Tosha Silver, in her book, Change Me Prayers, that we're featuring this month, wrote that the separate self is a hungry ghost that always wants more. And she says that you can achieve what everybody thinks they want to achieve, have a beautiful relationship and have a great job and have a great family and have plenty of money, but the separate self is always saying more, 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 more. The separate self is rarely satisfied. One of the ironies that I encountered this week as I was listening to a podcast that somebody over there gave me was this gentleman, I can't remember his name, said that the way to happiness is to stop the search for happiness. And I feel that's the same thing is true about sufficiency. That the way to experience all sufficiency is to stop the search for sufficiency. To move into all sufficiency when it still feels like insufficiency. There is a sufficiency in every insufficiency. And when you look at the word, that's actually true. Literally, right? If you just separate that in, put a little space between in and sufficiency, it's I am in sufficiency. I guess the key is, what do we do in that little space? What do we do in that space to turn it from insufficiency, one word, to insufficiency? According to Tosha Silver, a change me prayer can help. I want to do a little demonstration with you to show you what a change me prayer is not and what it is. The first part of this demonstration is for you to turn to somebody sitting near you and say, Divine Beloved, change that person. Everybody, do it. Yeah. Well, you could, her or anybody. Yeah. The practitioners down here are asking for specific guidelines. Can I just change this other person? You know? Okay, so you see perhaps that everybody laughed when we did that. Most people, I hope most people laughed, because that's exactly what it isn't. And yet, isn't that what we do most of the time with the people in our lives and with reality itself? Divine Beloved, change this person who is so annoying, right? I'm not looking at anybody specifically. Divine Beloved, change this situation in life that is scaring me, right? The real words are something else. So now go ahead and place your hands over your heart and shut your eyes if you like and feel your heart space and say, Divine Beloved, change me. Change me to be one who lives in all sufficiency. And so it is. And then open your eyes. Did that feel a tad different? Right? Just a tad. I'm going to go all Southern today. I can feel it. So, if you catch yourself saying to the world or saying to another person, that person needs to change, change you, change it, maybe you can remember the laughter that we had here. And instead of attacking yourself for quote unquote doing it wrong, just remember that, oh goodness, God has a sense of humor. God makes us want to rearrange everything out here when the real work is done in here. So what is the real work? Well, again, I think it's what you do in the pause between thoughts, between in and sufficiency. And I just have several stories of related to change me prayers that I think we can do to help us stay in that place of the full realization of the all sufficiency that is always available for us all of the time. The first one happened to me a couple of weeks ago. Went down to the feed store. Yep. You have to realize that I'm from a place called Briarcliff Manor, a suburb of New York. And the feed store was not really part of my vocabulary until I got all of these animals, and now the feed store is one of my favorite places in the world. I love the feed store, and I love the people down there. And one of the great things about this feed store is that they have a bunch of children. They have about four or five kids. I think they just had a baby, so I think it's five. And the kids all help in the store, and the kids are homeschooled, and part of their education is to learn about retail and customer service, and it's wonderful. I've complimented the parents on them before. But this other day, I was at the feed store, and I had this 10-year-old bring out this big, heavy bag of something, guinea pig pellets or something, out to my car, and he put it in, and I thanked him, and then I was reaching for the hatchback on my Prius, wanting to pull it down. I was standing on somewhat uneven ground, so it was a little hard to reach, and I was straining to reach it. And I felt the energy of this 10-year-old just standing over here, and he turned around to see if I was okay. And I felt him want to help me. And I ended up just pulling down the car door of the hatchback by myself. But just the thought that this 10-year-old was already so tuned in to the needs of others was so beautiful to me. And it was such a simple moment. I mean, how many of us go to the feed store and purchase guinea pig pellets all of the time? Maybe not a good example, but how many of us embark on these simple journeys, these simple errands? And sometimes we overlook the grace in those sacred moments. What I've discovered, one of the reasons that I felt like I was able to see it, is that because of this center and because of all of the work and kindness that we've done together, is that I've been working a lot on my invisible kindness, on my practice of invisible kindness. And I think that when we practice invisible kindness relentlessly, It makes the kindness of others visible. Isn't that weird? Isn't that a paradox? It must be God, right? Because it's kind of weird. It's not something you think every day, is it? God is kind of weird. It's not something you think every day. I'm going to bring them heart pins. I brought them heart pins yesterday, and I just tried to do it somewhat invisibly. I just put it in a basket and gave it to one of the daughters and said, this is for your family. But I did write a note because I wanted the parents to know how much I admired them and admired their children. And who knows where that will ripple. So the change me prayer there for all of us, that I need it too because I don't always notice things like that, is change me, divine beloved, into someone that can find all sufficiency in simple things. You want to say that with me? You can repeat after me, okay? Change me, divine beloved, into someone who can find all sufficiency in simple things. It's possible, right? With the divine beloved doing this work through you, it's possible our eyes can open and we can see the beauty of life and power and goodness in any moment, at any time, even when things get really challenging. I have a story about a gentleman named Troy Chapman who was imprisoned when he was young. He was imprisoned for second-degree murder, I believe, and he had a 60 to 90 year sentence, has a 60 to 90 year sentence. The judge who sentenced him said that he was unredeemable. And Fran from Iran, right? Remember last week, Fran from Iran, who was here, the Maharinsis of Franistan, which I call her too. If you know your I Love Lucy, you'll know what I'm talking about. She sent me this article about him. And although the judge said that he was unredeemable, he seems to be doing rather well with working on himself. I think back to the thing that I keep saying about Gandhi's wife, Kasturba Gandhi, where she was imprisoned, and they said, what? How do you feel about being in prison? And she said, there is no prison. Imprisonment is a state of mind. And this gentleman, Troy Chapman, seems to feel the same way. He seems to have the same attitude because he has studied and he has worked and he has learned to deal with grace and equanimity with all things that come up. He talked about in this article a situation where he was feeling insufficient and unsafe. There was a gentleman, a fellow inmate, walking towards him, and this guy was new in town, new in the prison, and he was sort of puffing up and trying to edge Troy off of the sidewalk. Troy Chapman said that that's a thing that happens. It's sort of a power domination struggle that happens a lot in prisons, that people are always often positioning for places of power. And Troy said that he had two options, that he could either confront this guy and get aggressive with him, or he could cower and step off of the sidewalk and let the guy pass. But instead of that, he found a third solution. He held the space. He didn't want to do either of those two options, and he held the space for possibility. Is it possible that he knew that there was even an all-sufficiency in that moment where he felt threatened, where he felt like there wasn't a solution, but in the infinite all-sufficiency, there was a different way of being with this situation? And so the gentleman came towards him and glared at him and wanted to edge him off the sidewalk, and Troy stepped off the sidewalk, but as he did, he touched this guy's arm, and he said, "So how's it going for you?" And he said that the utter look of confusion in this inmate's eyes was just amazing. Because he had just said in so many words, "I have no need of an enemy in you." Are there things in our lives where we are feeling a sense of against or enemy? Is there something where we feel like there is no solution? And can we do a change me prayer about that? Divine beloved, please change me into someone who frees myself and others from the illusion of imprisonment. Let's do that. Divine beloved, please change me into someone who frees myself and others from the illusion of imprisonment. And that's a powerful prayer to remember, to notice where we are feeling imprisoned. It can be through the attitude of another. It can be through a job. It can be through a relationship. It can be through the conditions in the world. We can feel imprisoned and let down and held down. But there's a better way. There is an all-sufficiency in that perception of insufficiency that is waiting for our invitation to come out. Another story. This is a story about financial insufficiency. And it was brought to me by one of our class members, who may or may not be named Jan. But she told me that during the course of this class that I just taught on Change Me Prayers and whatnot, that she told me this privately and gave me permission to share it. She said that in the midst of this class, her furnace broke and it was going to cost $500. She didn't really want to spend $500 on her furnace. Anybody really want to spend $500? No. So, you know, you'd rather spend it on something super fun, right? I would. So she had somebody come out, they gave her the bid for $500, and then they tried to fix it, but they didn't fix it. And then they didn't fix it some more, and then they didn't fix it some more, and she was still getting billed for $500. She had another contractor come out who gave her a lower bid and fixed it. And yet, with the first contractor who was still billing her for the $500, she decided to respond from a place of grace and all-sufficiency. Instead of acting like somebody from Frankenstein's mob in the Frankenstein movies, you know, waving pitchforks and brooms and burning brooms and storming the contractor's office. I have a vivid imagination, I can't help it. That's what I would have done. I mean, she offered it to the divine, and the divine love guided her to write a letter. And the letter said something like, it was just the facts. This is what happened. You made a bid for $500. You weren't able to fix the furnace for $500. You continue to bill me for the $500. How much do you think I should pay for a furnace that you didn't fix? Very kindly, just a simple question. And the furnace people wrote her back and said, "We are so sorry. We're not gonna bill you for that anymore. We're gonna make your balance go back down to zero." She didn't have to engage the enemy because there was no enemy. She didn't have to get in a big fight. She just had to move into that place of grace and all sufficiency and trust that there was a better way. A way that was a win-win for everyone, because the furnace people won by doing that too, by the way. They got to look at themselves. They got to look at themselves and look at their business practices so that they could apply them for the next time, perhaps. You know, anytime we set a boundary, we often think of a boundary as a criticism, but it's usually a compliment. If it's a sincere boundary, it's usually a compliment. And as it said in this article by Chapman, a boundary that is a compliment that is set from a place of sincerity, it opens us up to greater possibilities, but the reconciliation has to take place within us. We have to set the boundary with grace and with equanimity and without the need for a fight. So in terms of the furnace story, what is the Change Me prayer there? Divine Beloved, change me into someone that can respond with equanimity to all of life's challenges. After me, Divine Beloved, change me into someone who can respond with equanimity in all of life's challenges. Can you see how much fun the world would be if we all were really doing this? Can you commit to yourselves now to engage at least one of these practices? You don't have to do it all, or maybe you've thought up something better that's more personal to your own life, but just to engage these practices and see how your life opens and blooms, and how as we do these practices, as we do these Change Me prayers, as we open up to the grace that is, our lives are completely sufficient. We are immersed in the sea of all sufficiency, no matter what is going on. There is an all-sufficiency of healing, an all-sufficiency of hope, an all-sufficiency of peace, an all-sufficiency of goodness, an all-sufficiency of compassion, and it is available for us right now. And the last thing I want to say is that it's never too late. Never too late. At the end of Tosha Silver's book, It's Not Your Money, she tells a story about a woman who was on her deathbed. And this woman had been extremely successful in her life. Perhaps she had one of those hungry ghosts that was following her around and saying, more, 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 because she was a costume designer, and she had won Golden Globes, and she had a beautiful home, and she had a great family. But as she lay on her deathbed, she started to think about her life, because people often become more lucid at those times and reflective. And she started thinking and saying out loud, you know, I have all of this stuff, I have all of these wonderful things, I've had all of these great experiences, but I wish I had spent more time asking the divine what the divine wants to do through me. Asking love what love wants and serving that. And her children were gathered around her bed. And her son said, you know what, Mom? It's not too late. And she got a beautiful smile on her face and gazed around the room in silence. And very soon, she closed her eyes and passed away. And as Tosha Silver says in her book, who knows what an impact that might have had on everything. Let us have the same type of commitment and impact on everything as we turn within and allow ourselves to be changed through prayer.